This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
They have won against a good opposition. Lille we all knew that they were going to be good, but I think we all probably expected them to just come and just make it difficult for us and play for the second leg. But they play some nice football as well. So, really, really impressive win that for Villa tonight. Yes, I said before the game in our preview, I'd be happy with a 1-0 win or a 1-0 lead going into the second leg, and I would have took that before kickoff. When you go two up, you want it to still be a two-goal lead. But the one that was ruled out for offside, which we kind of got away with. I've not seen it back. I don't mean got away with it. The decision wasn't right, but that was a bit of a kick up the bum to go, okay, well, they're dangerous. We need to get on top of that. Hopefully that was the correct decision, and that's how it should have been. But they worried us at times. As much as I felt mostly in control of the game, if it's not for a certain best goalkeeper in the world, Lille go away with a win back to France.
Yeah, I think he should have tea towels and fridge magnets and his range of mugs and baseball caps. He should trademark that now, because he shows it, doesn't he? He certainly showed it today. We could be talking about a 6-2 defeat, couldn't we? If he wouldn't, and they're big saves, they're important saves. I'm not saying they're all kind of gilt-edged chances, but they were good chances. Yeah. And that's in the first half alone. And then he's gone and pulled two or three out the bag, second half as well. He's fantastic, and I think, and I don't want to, like I say, we've won the game, we're in a good place. I don't want to be too critical, because it's nearly midnight and I don't want to drone on anyway, but it's a good job we've got somebody who is that decisive and that kind of leader at the back, because what recent weeks have shown us, and possibly over the course of the season, I'm not sure we've got that linchpin defender who can take responsibility and can really, you know, we've been susceptible again tonight. The goal that we've conceded, and this is not me digging out. If you look across that back four, we've got four fantastic players playing across that back four today. But it's who do we think is the one that is going to command that defence? I'm not sure whose role that is.
I think it probably would be Ezri Konsa now, and that was a criticism levelled at him pre-Tyrone Mings injury, that he kind of relies on him a little bit to be the leader. I think he's stepped up in that, but it's probably more difficult for him to lead in that sense from right back than it would be at centre-half.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, we could easily start picking holes, but I think the fact is that we've won the game. It has left us feeling a little bit flat, the fact that they scored that goal, but what I'm trying to look at in terms of a positive narrative is that when we go there next week, there shouldn't be any complacency at all, because the game is still very much in the balance. So we've got to be there. We've got to be on it, haven't we? Because it's going to give them encouragement. So it's going to give them a psychological boost, but we've got to be on it. And I think if we are, I think we're more than good enough to get through the tie.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's just a shame that it's not a two-goal lead, because that, you know, the work that we put in tonight could be undone within 2 minutes of the second leg if they score first, and it's a raucous atmosphere.
I think whoever scores first in the second leg, that's going to be a kind of pendulum swinger anyway.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Whether we were 2-0 up or or 2-1 up or whatever it is. So I think we've got enough quality. I think we've got the mentality to go there. We just need to make sure that the back door is being slammed shut a lot more firmly than it seems to have been in the last couple of games.
Yeah, and for Coefficient FC fans out there, we're the only English team to win this week in Europe across the three competitions. I think that's correct anyway. Arsenal and Man City drew in the Champions League. West Ham lost to Leverkusen. Liverpool lost 3-0 to Atalanta at Anfield. That's a terrible result for the fifth place scenario in the Premier League. It's still doable for people that are panicking that it's all going to be over now. It's Liverpool. Germany have taken second spot this kind of week of fixtures, but it shows that it flip-flops around, that for the second leg, that could all change. Even if Liverpool don't progress, a win against Atalanta next week somehow would be good for us. Villa obviously going further into the Conference League is good for us. We can kind of control it to an extent. You know, there's still a lot to go and a long way to go in that sense, but we all kind of felt, or me and John at least felt, looking at the numbers and stuff, that by next Friday, when this round of fixtures is finished, we'll probably have a good idea whether fifth is good enough or not. I don't think we will. I think it's going to go into the semi-finals as well now. So the kind of wait goes on for, is fifth going to be enough? Sadly, being the only team that can win in Europe, it's on us to do our own bit.
Well, yeah, like normally it'd be a brilliant boast that we're the only team to win in Europe, only English team winning Europe, but sod's law, we actually need them to start winning it. I'm a big fan of your European coefficient roundup. So a bit like kind of Graham Norton doing the Eurovision. I think it's
Milpois.
Yeah. Should green screen you in different destinations to
I mean, it is something that is gonna change as games go by. I do think it would all be wrapped up by this week, and it still could be. Look, if Arsenal beat Bayern Munich and Man City go through, we go through, Liverpool have a miraculous turnaround and they go through, Dortmund are playing, who did they play? Atletico Madrid, and they lost the first leg. So if they go out, that's obviously good for us. We want as many of the German teams to go as possible. Obviously, there's also the scenario that I'm not writing off fourth place in the Premier League either. Like, it's still doable that Villa put a run of results together and finish above Spurs. And if fifth isn't good enough and we finish fourth, yeah, happy days, that's fine. So it's not in our hands because we're relying on other teams in Europe and we've got to do better than Spurs in the Premier League. But it's not out of our control entirely that whatever we do, it doesn't matter. If we won 4 out of 6 in the Premier League, we might finish fourth. If we win the Conference League, fifth might be good enough. So there's still plenty of work for us to do to kind of put destiny in our own hands a little bit.
Listen, there's so many permutations and that, but I think the best chance we've got of reaching the Champions League is finishing the top four, because it puts it to bed then. And no pressure, Unai and co, but let's go and finish in the top four and let's go and win the Conference League. And then we've got an embarrassment of riches, haven't we?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Is there anything specific you want to talk about from the game? Any moments of actual match play you want to reference? As I said, we'd only do a short one, so we can touch on stuff another time. Is there anything that stands out, like a man of the match or anything like that?
I think the man of the match is hands down, or hands up, Emi Martinez. I think he was so crucial to making sure that we did preserve that lead going into the second leg. I think John McGinn probably ran him close. Obviously, the assist and the goal, there were three real moments, like individual moments of quality that are really, you know, when these kind of, you know, the old kind of cliche, worth the admission fee alone. There were just three little bits. And I think, did you see Watkins's little flick for the Bailey chance quite early in the second half? That was class. I like that. And there's a little moment when Konsa nutmegged down by the Trinity Road touchline. He nutmegged his opponent, and I like that. And I've just come back and watched the quick highlights on TNT Sport on Twitter. McGinn's goal, it is just magic, because at first glance, you don't know it's gone through a crowded box. You don't know if it's clipped a defender and how it's found its way in. But if you just look at it, he couldn't have measured it any better. It's so sweetly struck. So I thought he was class as well. Quite felt like covering him and smothering him in cocoa butter tonight, but I'm not sure he'd probably object.
I love that for anyone who's not seen that little video, that makes absolutely no sense. But I'm not gonna give it context. Leave it at that. Just from the bigger picture of the Conference League, just for a second, obviously we keep saying we're one of the favourites, blah, blah, blah. I think Lille is probably one of the most difficult opponents we could have. If this was the final, I think people would go, what a spectacle. Like two good sides there playing against each other. If Villa were to progress, I think Olympiacos were 3-0 up at one stage, and that's come back to 3-2 against Fenerbahce. It'll be one of those for the semi-final for Villa or Lille. And people are expecting Fiorentina to be the final. So it's a difficult run to go on and lift this silverware. If we are to do that, I don't want to simplify and like kind of pick out individuals as I'm about to do that. But what I mean is, if we do it, it's going to be a team effort, obviously. It goes without saying. But if we are to do it, is it just down to Emi Martinez at the back and Ollie Watkins up front? How good they are at both ends of the pitch. He will score goals. He'll keep them out.
I don't know. It's probably a little bit more complicated. You know, it's not Wimbledon's doubles final, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's these 11 players, and there's a squad of like probably still a squad of 20 players who could be involved. So, yes, if Ollie Watkins keeps scoring goals at the rate that he's doing, and Emi Martinez keeps protecting the goal at the rate he's doing, I mean, he must be tearing his hair out at the moment. What does he? What's his clean sheet bonus for tube of Pringles or something? Is it?
I don't know what it is, but he doesn't keep many anymore, does he?
Yeah, it must be really frustrating for him, to be honest. But those two players continuing to excel will get us a big chunk of the way there, but they're going to need a little bit of support from the people around them, I think.
Yeah, a very diplomatic answer there, very a manager's answer.
Speaking of managers, have you seen that clip of Emery referring to McGinn as Super John McGinn?
No.
It's a really, really sweet. I've just retweeted it, so have a little look when you're done.
When I'm in bed. So actually, speaking of managers, Unai Emery's 1,000th game in management, which is unbelievable, isn't it, really? I think it was Villa's 100th game in UEFA competition as well, I saw on the way back. Nice little banner in the whole inn for Unai Emery, which was unexpected. And what did you think of the music?
Well, the banner, first of all, when I saw Unai 1000 sounds like a kind of cheap Czechoslovakian car. I think my wife learned to drive in an Unai 1000, actually. But what are they called? You know, the bands that come and go, is it Mary? What are they called?
I don't know, but you've given us a great example that everyone will know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. Oh, God. Shows how uncultured I am. Somebody will put it in. One of our Spanish aficionados will put it in the comments. But yeah, it was just random, wasn't it? It just appeared from nowhere. A little flurry of flamenco music or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it was cool, but so unexpected. But yeah, just a nice touch and a nice little banner as well. Yeah, 1,000 games in management. And how many of those are for Villa off the top of my head? Not even 10%. Less than 100 games for Villa as a manager, but we already feel this connection to that. Yeah, it's about 40 odd this year, isn't it, as well, and a back end of last season. So yeah, 75, 80. Mariachi band, the comments. So
that's it. Thank
sounds
you.
Sounds correct. Anything else you want to discuss?
This is completely random. In the Trinity tonight, I know you were in the upper, weren't you? But was did you hear like a siren or a...
That was the away end.
Loud hailer. Was that from them?
Oh, well, I assume so. It's like an ultras thing, isn't it? A megaphone.
Yeah, cause it sounded like, to my kind of old deaf ears, it sounded like it was coming from the bottom of the Trinity. But
no, I'm pretty sure that would be the away end when it went quiet at one stage and you could really hear it, and then it went like a wailing, kept going on and on and on. I'm pretty sure that's their end. That was a 2-0, I think.
There's one other thing that I'm so childish. One other thing that amused me, the French translator. We spoke about him before, haven't we, for VAR? The translations. I think one was like butt examine or something like that. And I was just like giggling like a pathetic little school kid when I saw butt examine going on the...
I knew when that flashed up that would tickle your fancy. I don't know whether you'd mention it or not, but I knew that you'd enjoy that. Just all in all, a nice night at Villa Park. Like you say, I was in the Upper Trinity, which is a different experience. I've not been up in the Upper Trinity I don't think I've ever been up there. I sat in the Holt End a few times. I think I sat in the North Stand once years and years ago. I've been Lower Trinity for as long as I can remember, and it's going to sound mad to people that will hop around the stadium anyway, but it's such a different experience watching the game. Like, you go to Villa Park and I always think, like, I can picture exactly what my view is from where I sit, or have sat for 15 years or whatever it is. And when I think of a game at Villa Park, I picture it in that viewpoint. So to go back to that place and have a totally different viewpoint of the game, to be able to see it from basically what the TV see, but on the opposite side, it's so different. Like, the game feels so much slower. It's really weird. It's really, really difficult to describe. Have you ever sat like really low and then?
Yeah, well, I used to have a season ticket on the front of the Holt End, and it was.
As well, so that's already slightly different.
Yeah, it was too frenetic in a way. And I think the benefit of on the Trinity, I think you sitting near the halfway line normally in Trinity lower, is you can still get a better perspective of the whole pitch. But higher up, you get that better perspective, but you can see all the patterns. And it's probably more frustrating. Yeah. That's probably why these grumpy people like me in the Trinity kind of groaning and moaning, because you can see the passes that player should have been.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. Because I was actually closer to the halfway line tonight than I am normally. Like, I was literally bang on the halfway line tonight, which was great. It was a really, really good view. But when you're on the bottom, you kind of, it definitely feels quicker, but you can't really judge the weight of a pass or the trajectory of a ball or anything, because everything's on a level playing field. When you're at the top, you can see everything from this kind of... I'm preaching here to people who do this every single week and go, what are you talking about? But for me, I've not experienced that view of football at Villa Park for years and years and years. And it just felt different. You just, like you say, the patterns of what we're doing as Unai Emery's football, you've seen it on play out in front of you. And yes, you see it down low as well, but it's just a different perspective.
It amazes me that more managers and coaches don't sit higher up in the stands. I know you'd never get Emery up there because he's so involved in it on the touchline. But in terms of the perspective of how the game unfolds, did you take the stairs or the lift?
Stairs, bloody long way, isn't it?
It's hard working. I'm thinking, because I've started going. I've used it as an excuse because I started going in the lift with my dad. But I've got to try and shed a bit of this. I've got to shed a bit of this puppy fat, so I might do a sponsorship thing, raise money for charity for every step that I climb. The Trinity.
You know what as well? Warmer at the... I know it was a milder day anyway, but warmer at the top of the Trinity at the back.
It's closer to the sun, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I was going to say something stupid like that, yeah. But no, a nice evening at Villa Park. Some people will feel that little bit of frustration and almost disappointment that we've not held on to the 2-0. We've beaten a good side there and we have the advantage going into the second leg, and I think that is important to remember and reflect upon, that I think in the days upcoming as we lead into the second leg, that we'll maybe realise how important and how good tonight was really. Yes, it could have gone very differently, but it didn't, and it's better to kind of appreciate that rather than think about what may have been.
Yeah, can I just quickly, I know we're going to go in a second, just quickly slag off the ref. I thought he was okay, first off, other than their man who went down looking for a penalty, who I thought should have got booked in the first half. I thought the ref, he let a few things go. There was the one where Watkins kind of got the better of his man about 2 minutes before the goal, and then chose to shoot from a tight angle. I thought he was letting it flow. But I think, did he, with the exception of their manager, he didn't book any of their players, did he?
I think there might have been one in the second half. But it was like, yeah, any booking was a Villa player. Any foul was nothing for a Lille player. Some of them weren't even giving us fouls.
it just seemed to come on. His performance just seemed to deteriorate, to be honest.
Yeah, but, weird.
And he rode up. What time is it? 12:15. Are we done?
12:15. There's a couple of comments I wanted to flash up very quickly that are not about the football, but just as almost housekeeping and almost personal pride. First one, Ross says, where did you get your theme music from? It's on a Dancing Fruits sensory video my kids watch, which I remember those from my newborn. We don't use those anymore. I never came across it. It's from like a music site that you pay for.
What's and Dancing Fruit? Like a little kind of raspberry with eyes and it just kind of boogies around the screen?
That is spot on, yeah. That is exactly what it is. It's for like kids' development and tracking and their eyes and stuff, and it's like a broccoli or a banana and they dance. It just like kind of bounces across the screen with like funky music and you just put it on and let them vibe for a bit.
I don't know, but we used to have dancing animals. We used to have one where my kids are 16 and 13 now. It used to go badger, 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 hedgehog, hedgehog.
Oh, yeah, that rings a bit of a bell. Yeah, it's much less chilled out than that now. It's much less invasive. But yeah, we just pay for the license for that music, and the Dancing Fruits website obviously found that music was suitable as well. So that's where we got it from. And the other one, this is the one that's for personal pride, and you'll massively disagree with me here. Lewis says, someone needs to tell Dan he needs to let it go. That hairline has now gone. Join the good-looking, bald-headed lads now. I'll take umbrage with that it's now gone. It's heading on the way out. I'll give you that. I'm not going to reveal too much about it, but it's not gone to the point that I need to shave it all off.
It's not, listen, it's
going back. There's no doubt about it, but I'm not to the point where I need to like go number one over.
What I say is that the tide's definitely going out, but it's not thin though, is it? The plenty of hair that you've got, you know, there's some density to it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I won't lean too far forward because you probably will see a little bit of thinning on the top, but it hasn't got that, at least, you know what I mean? Getting on a little bit now. So just leave me alone, all right? Tell me about it. Let's call it a day there. Somebody in the comments before just said, what time is it there? Obviously not based in the UK. I'm surprised you're doing this at this time. It's 12:15, but you know, here we are talking to you at Aston Villa because why not? 300 people are watching along live, so fair play to you wherever you are in the world. I imagine most of you watching or listening to this, it's Friday for you and you're watching this on catch up. Thank you for choosing our podcast to listen to as well. Hopefully you've enjoyed the random tangents, which was 95% of the show, and then the 5% about the football as well. You can get involved in the comment section and leave your thoughts on the game. Still loads coming up on Claret and Blue. I think me and John are doing an episode today. Obviously it's now Friday, to preview Arsenal, which is on Sunday. There'll be a post-match show for that as well, and then we'll do a Q&A on Monday as always. Matt, thank you for joining us. Very quickly, where'd you get that top from? Is that new? I've not seen you in that before, have I?
I'll tell you where I had this from. This was a gift off our friend Mick Dale. Last summer, when he left the club, I went over to see him, and he gave me this gift. And fair play, I might get him to buy my clothes more because it fits. Other than my moves are protruding a little bit, but it fits quite nicely. And it took until about a year later or 8 months later for us to give him that little caricature back. So this was courtesy of Mick Dale. So if you want him as your personal shopper, get in touch and we'll get him to sort you out.
Okay, will do. Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you, Matt, for your time. Thanks, everyone, for watching or listening. We appreciate you all as ever. And we'll see you later today. Bye, everyone.